And we are thankful to God, you know, for another good morning that He's given us to just dig into His Word. And we've been looking at, you know, the book of Romans and taking a look at the defense of the gospel. And this is one that was written by Paul. He's writing to the Romans, or to the believers in Rome, who, remember, it's the seat of the church. Rather, it's a seat of government, in that Rome controlled everything. There were these believers who had gone there and, you know, they were bearing fruit, and Paul was not the one that planted them, but he gives them a reason to understand their faith. And so this is really an apologetic letter. It's really a defense of the gospel. And we've been able to see from the onset of the first two chapters, looking at the danger of sin and how we are in need of redemption. But then no one is righteous, whether Jew or Gentile. And unrighteousness has been revealed, which is apart from the law, which is by faith. And this is the kind of righteousness that God imputes on us. And that means that it is God that counts it on you as righteous. And this is just the blessedness. And we are given two examples of people who believed in that righteousness. One is David, who discovered, and he said, the blessedness of the one to whom the Lord does not count his sin against. To us, we think David as an adulterer. We think David as a murderer. We think David as a weak man. But to God, He calls him a man after His own heart, and he discovered the righteousness to which God, you know, does not count a man's sin against. And likewise, another man that discovered this righteousness by faith is Abraham. And the Bible says he considered his own body that was dead as good as dead, and his wife's body that was, you know, barren, but he believed in the God that calls things that are not as if they are, and God called him righteous. It was credited to him as righteousness. And so this righteousness, we've seen the benefits. We've seen the benefits in that it brings us peace with God. It reconciles us to God. It gives us salvation. We receive the forgiveness of sins. You know, we receive that newness of life. But then also, there's also certain freedoms that God, our faith in Christ brings. We've been able to see that apart from righteousness, which is imputed, we've also seen that also we receive life in Christ, in that in Adam we all died, but then in Christ we are made alive. Then we've also seen that also the sacrifice of Christ deals with sin. We become dead to sin and become slaves to righteousness. We are no longer slaves of sin, but we are slaves to righteousness. And then the last time we spoke, we were able to see that we were dead to the law, and we were given, you know, the analogy of marriage, in that as long as a couple is married, they are bound to one another. But then when one spouse goes to be with the Lord, then they are free from that law. So now we were initially under the law. We were married to the law. We were under the law, and we are burdened to it. But then now we have been set free from that law. Why? Because Christ has fulfilled that law, and we've been set free from that law that makes us slaves to sin. But then now we are married to another. We are married to Christ. And that tells us that we are dead to sin. We are dead to our old ways. We are dead to the power that controlled us. And now we are in a new covenant. In a new covenant, which is in which we are married to the one who died for us, who paid the price for us. And in this way, we are in a new covenant, a new union of love, in which Christ has paid the price for us. He has paid our bride price with His blood, with His own sacrifice. And if you can think of how Adam, you know, was, God opened up his side and took out the rib and formed, you know, his wife Eve, and think of Christ on the cross, and he was pierced on his side, and what came out was water and the blood. and the blood which was separated, you know, between water and the blood. And that is how the church is also birthed. So in the same way that Adam, you know, God brought forth his wife from his side, is also the same way that Christ, who is the second Adam, who is the last Adam, the church was brought out forth. And indeed, it is that picture. And there's so many aspects of, you know, when you think or when you compare Christ and him being the true redemption, the true new man, the true Son of God that God was bringing on the earth, that we may be made after his kind. You know, he makes us like him because we are in him. We are his body and he is our head. We are united with him and now we are married. We become one with him. Just like a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. When we leave our life of sin, we now become united with Christ. And so today we are going to now see also the other benefit of, you know, of salvation, which next is how it overcomes sinful nature, and how God has given us authority over sinful nature. God has broken the power of sinful nature over our lives, and God has given us the victory over sinful nature. And we shall be able to see, and we shall not give an excuse to live in sin because of sinful nature. Because what we see is many people love to quote, "Oh, the good I want to do, I don't do it," and they stop there. They don't read the context of the verses in totality to understand that an argument was being made, but then a solution was given. And this is what we shall be able to see in Romans chapter 7. And we shall see, and maybe we are going to read, we will read from verse Romans chapter 7, and we can read from verse 18. And it says that, I will read from NLT and then I will also compare it with ESV so that it's just flows, and in case at times, you know, the language also, so that it's a bit easier for us to understand. So it says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature." And when you look at other versions, it speaks of in my flesh, you know, as in, so flesh, when we see flesh and we see sinful nature, they are referring to the same thing. So where it's or in the body, you know, someone will say in the body. Why? Because remember, we are spiritual beings, but we also are in a body, and we have this part of us that is in us. So let's read. And it says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, am I really the one doing it, doing wrong? It is sin living in me that does it." So this is where he says, "The good, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And then he said, "So I have discovered this principle of life, or a law, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart." That means I love God from my inner being. In my inner man, I love the law of God. He knows that he loves God. But he says that, "But there is another power, there is another law that works within him, that is at war with my mind. And this law, or this power, makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me." Then he says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Or who will free me from this body of death?" And then he says, verse 25, "Thanks be to God," or "Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord." So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. No, so let's just read it in ESV so that we can also picture that. It says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I find myself the law of God with my mind. I serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Now let's go into Romans chapter 8, because we need to look at the entire context, because, you know, chapters were given for understanding, but the reality is this is one thought that flows up to around Romans 8 verse 14. And then I'll read it. Says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied in us, for us who no longer live follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Verse 5. Those who are dominated, or those who are led by the flesh, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, or the mind that is controlled by the flesh is death. Or those who set their minds on the flesh is death. But those who set their minds on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. Verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to it at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Verse 12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I want to stop there, dealing with sinful nature, and we can see the victory that God has given us over sinful nature. So the argument he starts telling us, he's seeing a law working in his members, and this works in all of us, born again, not born again. We see that there is something within us that is a propensity for evil. That means that the moment you don't set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you find that you are shifting to the flesh, shifting to the sinful nature. Why? Because in our bodies, there is that law. There is a law that makes us serve sin. And this is the law of sinful nature. But he explains it that the good I want to do, I don't do it. And the evil I don't want to do is what I find myself doing it. And maybe you're there and you're having this struggle, and this struggle that the apostle was saying he sees in himself. He sees a struggle that the good he wants to do, he does not do. So he's saying that he realizes there is a sin. There is that sinful nature that is in every human being as a result of the body that we receive from Adam. And the sin that Adam sinned, this body of ours, there will always be this struggle within us. Do we follow the sinful nature and its dictates? Do we obey this flesh of ours? You know, when it desires, you know, food, when it desires, you know, such as self-gratification, when it is struggling with money, when it's struggling with greed, when it's struggling with corruption, when it's struggling with sexual immorality, when we desire all these things, we can see the Bible is clearly telling us that the sinful nature, the mind that is controlled by sinful nature, leads to death. End result is death. But he says that who will save him, who will rescue him from this body of addiction, from this body of sinful nature? He says, even though he sees how wretched he is, he says, but thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who condemned sin. You see, why can God condemn sin? Because he also took on our flesh. He also took on a body like us. He was in the flesh as it is. And the Bible tells us that, you know, that he was beaten in the flesh. He bled in the flesh. He breathed, you know, he cried out to God that, oh God, why have you forsaken me in the flesh? At that very moment, the Bible tells us he had no beauty or image that we should be attracted to him. That means that his face was destroyed. It was mud. His back was beaten out. It was, you know, teared out with all those nails. And he bled from his hands. He bled from his feet. He bled from his side. He bled from his brows. Every part of his body was bleeding, was in pain, so that he can condemn sin and sinful nature in us. Now think of it, if the death of Christ was enough to wash our sins and to deal with sin once and for all, don't you think that Christ, the death of Christ, has enough power to destroy the power of sinful nature in us? That means if God could deal with sin as it is it that sinful nature was not dealt with? The Bible tells us, as we have read, that, you know, the law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature. But how was God's answer? He sent Christ, he sent Jesus in the same very body that we are, in the same flesh that we are, in the same body that has its struggles, and God declared an end, and he met the righteous requirements, and he was able to give us the Holy Spirit. And it is through the Spirit of God that we have victory over sinful nature. Why? Because he has, the one who has done it for us. Now, sinful nature cannot control us. The Bible tells us that those who live under the world, those who are in the world, they're under the control of the devil. The devil controls their mind. He controls their thinking. He controls their voting. He controls their desires, how they treat their families, what they take, everything. Someone will just tell you, I just don't know. The moment I cross this border, I'm an alcoholic. Or the moment I just come to this place, I am in immorality. Why? Because they are under the control of the enemy. But you see, as we say, the devil has no power over the believer. And what he does, he brings temptations for us to choose. Now, when you are encountering the temptations, encountering the desires of the devil, what happens is what? Now you will have a choice. Now, do I obey? Do I follow the urgings of the sinful nature? Or do I follow the obedience of the Holy Spirit? It's just like you had an exam to do, or an assignment to submit, or some work to be done, and it's, let's say, at 10 p.m. Now, the deadline is tomorrow. You can say, oh, I'm tired. I don't think I will even submit this assignment. I'll miss it. And you decide to sleep. Or you can say, no, I am going to stay awake until I finish, until I submit. Then I will have finished this work. Then I can sleep. So the choice always is given to us. And God has given us the power of a sinful nature to make that choice above it. And that's why he says that there is the power of the life-giving Spirit of Christ has set us free from the power of sin and death. Not that it will set us free. It has. We are already set free. You know, someone will be like, I don't know when I will be set free. I don't know when I'll be delivered. You just need to believe what Christ has said now, that he set you free. The power, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Not will even set you free. That's why I keep saying, what is the greatest opinion that you will choose to believe? Is it God's word? Or is it your body? Is it your what your mind tells you? Is it your what your body tells you? You have to choose God's word above everything else. And God is telling us that he has defeated sinful nature from us. In fact, if you even read Colossians 2:11, it says that we have been circumcised, which is spiritually, which is the cutting away of our sinful nature. That means that its power to control us has been cut off from us. It does not mean that it cannot rise. And I think there's this story given of this, you know, it's that's why maybe I can say how Paul says it, that those you a man reaps what he sow. You know, what you sow is what you reap. Galatians chapter 6, they that sow to the flesh or sow to their sinful nature, they reap destruction. But they that sow to their spirit reaps eternal life and righteousness and peace. We have the choice. We have the power within us. We have the ability to overcome sin. And God is telling us, just be led by the Spirit of God. Why do we react in anger when someone has hurt us? Why do we, you know, decide not to speak to someone or not decide not to speak to our spouses? It is the flesh. It is a sinful nature. But you see, even when you're doing that, there is still that voice of the Spirit of God within us that tells us, what you're doing is not right. Can you go back and make peace? Even as, and one thing I want to tell you, as long as you can still hear that voice, that means that you are not lost in God. That is God's way of walking with us, because he has recognized, he has seen our weakness, but you see, he still brings that song in us. He still brings that voice. He reminds that us with that verse and brings us to that place of memory, which he tells you that, oh, what you've done is wrong. Do it this way. I always encourage us that as long as you can hear that voice in the conscious, you are still in the place where God is able to restore us and to bring us into alignment with him. That's why we're telling us that those who are led, those who are the mature sons of God, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sinful nature has no power over us. The struggle is there. The struggle is real, but but the power, the victory is given to the believers. I will stop there and allow God to let us sink. This is part of the benefits. And beyond that, which is Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is no condemnation, no condemnation, no condemnation. That means there is no judgment against you. There is no judgment against you for those who belong, who are in Christ Jesus. Don't let your mind judge. Don't let your past judge you. Don't let your past week judge you. Don't let your moments of weakness judge you. Stay in Christ. Set your mind on Christ. Set your heart on Christ. Serve God. Listen to his voice. Obey him. And he shall give you the victory. God is in charge and God loves us. So welcome, and as God allows you to reflect.
Thank you very, very much for sharing. As you were sharing, there were two thoughts coming to my mind. Generally, like what I've observed, yeah, there are two school of thoughts for believers that maybe are struggling with a bad habit or something. There is one where they now trust in themselves and say, no, me, I've made up my mind, you get it? I would not do this again, you get it? And the Bible tells us that cursed is a man who trusts in man, who's yes. something about arm of flesh, who trusts in the arm of flesh. And then there's another group of believers that the enemy successfully lies to and tells them that you will never get out of this. It starts reminding them how, or maybe there was somebody else in their family that struggled with that particular thing. And but I think you see, like the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. I think the fact that, you know, sometimes we read the Bible, but we do not take, like we do not have faith in what we have read, and because I'm as you were just, you know, sharing, I was just remembering all the things Jesus Christ went through, you know, for our freedom, for us to be able to overcome sin. But yet, we either allow the devil lie to us that we cannot, or instead of us to put our trust and anchor on Jesus, we now decide to trust on, or the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we decide to now trust in our own will, you know, to overcome, you know. Oh, God will help us so that we don't keep cheating ourselves, and we don't keep making the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, making it wasted.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. I mean, very powerful reflection. Some people want self-discipline, self-effort. You know, they do all that, but then not resting on the Spirit of God. And then others are just defeated in the mind and believing what the enemy whispers to them. But we have the power, we have the victory. Christ, if he defeated sin, he also defeated sinful nature. In fact, the Bible tells us he judged it. And once it is judged, the matter is settled. And really, let us be led. Let us sow to the Spirit. Let us, you know, walk in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us that those who walk, you know, according to, walk in step with the Spirit of God, you shall not gratify the desires of the flesh or of the sinful nature. It's a daily walk. It's a daily step with Christ. And I believe as we walk with him, we continually and gradually see the victory. I can assure you, anyone that is just staying by the word of God, staying in worship, just continually believing and trusting in God, what they and growing in knowledge, indeed, as you said it, you will sin less and less. And one day you'll wake up and you'll realize, oh, I used to be a captive of this. I used to be a captive of pornography. I used to be a captive of this, but I am not anymore. It is gone. What happened? Christ's power, as you grew in knowledge, as you grew in fellowship, as you grew in belief, as you continually led, you realize that those things that held power over you are cut off, and you receive the power of strength. And today I want to pray for even those that are struggling with sin, that they will receive the knowledge, they will receive the belief in God, that Christ has also defeated sinful nature. In the same way he defeated sin once and for all, sinful nature as well is condemned and is defeated in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to Jesus who gives us the victory. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the deliverance that comes by just receiving the word of God as it is. And I thank you for the heavy price that you paid on the cross. You paid for our sins. You paid even for sinful nature. You paid even for our healing. You paid even for our deliverance, that we are set free. You paid even for our justification. You paid even for our prosperity. You paid it all, O God. And when you said it is finished, it is finished. Telestai, it is finished. And Father, I thank you for the captive in their mind by the thoughts of the devil. I set them free now. I remove every blinding force over their eyes, over their hearts, to see the truth that you have set them free, and he that knows the truth shall be set free, made free, O God. And Father, I bring forth the captives out of the bondage of sinful nature, out of the bondage of thinking that they are under the control of sinful nature. And as they submit to Christ, may they experience the truth, the redemption, the assurance of victory, and even may they be encouraged to sow and to keep sowing to the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit, and they grow in maturity. I pray even for them that do not know Christ, them that are in the world, them that are still under the control of the devil, that as they put their faith in Christ this day and this morning, as they ask for forgiveness, that Lord, may you accept them and give them your Spirit, the Spirit of life that sets us free. And I pray for victory all around us. Thank you for this day. It is blessed, it is ordered of you, and indeed we continually see victory in our lives. Thank you, O God, that as your word has told us that we have victory over sinful nature. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.